Hi, this is Hugh Greenwood from the North Melbourne Footy Club, and you're listening to another episode of the Hashtag Kangaroos podcast. Here is your host, Dean Basich.
Welcome to another episode. My name is Dean Basich. You can find me on X at Hashtag Kangas, Instagram Hashtag Kangaroos Podcast, TikTok Hashtag Kangaroos 1. So tonight I was joined by Siobhan Rowe and Claire Cozzi joined us for about the first 40, 45 minutes of the show. Just to warn you, she used a little bit of colourful language, just talking about a few certain things. I can't remember what exactly when she used that colourful language. So just to warn you viewers, there was a bit of colourful language, but it was all in a bit of fun. And yeah, she was fired up, and that's why I got her on here. She was very passionate about how the North Melbourne Football Club is going at the moment. So yeah, just be wary of that. We obviously had a lot to discuss. Are we a chance this week? What's going on with the leadership at this football club on the field? Are they really letting us down? Because it seems like they are. So there was a lot to go through. Let's not waste any more of your time. Bring on Siobhan and Claire.
So tonight I welcome back to the show my Thursday regular is Siobhan Rowe, and welcome back Claire Cozzi. And I will go to you, Claire, and I'll usually have you on for the women's team. And we chat about how good Jasmine Garner is and Ashley Bell and so forth. But tonight I'll have you on to chat about the men's team. 0-5 and looking pretty bleak. But we need you tonight, Claire. You are the Harry Schuster inclusion to the podcast this week.
Oh,
in all seriousness, no, though, it's been a tough start, hasn't it?
Yeah, hard watch, as they say, hard watch. not too many, Emma Carneys or, Ash Riddell's or Jenna Bruton's or, coming out. So, before we got on, we were just kind of speaking about what is the shining light, if we don't put up in a good fight against Hawthorn or, if we lose against them, what can we really take out of it? I think, in terms of shining lights, I've really loved Tom Powell. I love that he got that extra 2 years. I do like Sherry. I think as much as Goldstein, he's getting really lippy. I'm not loving him being exited by the club and just some of the stuff that he said. So
yeah.
I'm absolutely loving Sherry taking on the mantle of number one prime rock. That's been great. I would have loved to have seen Ty Sellers kick a goal last week. Unfortunately, that wasn't to be the case, but I think reward for effort. It's great to see the VFL produce and ideally come across. Look at Charlie Comden. Like, that is a huge, 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 I guess, success story. Not only for, I think, it's a success story for the real ones, the ones that have been with Charlie when he got drafted and then all his setbacks and then his VFL and him being rewarded. And, we thought he was a forward and look at him now. He's sort of gone and he's kind of like a modern Robbie Tarrant, and I love it. And I hope that he plays just as great as Robbie Tarrant. So those are some definite highlights. And, I've really loved watching. Obviously, we've got Nick Larkey's 100th game this week, and I think he publicly came out and said, it was like, look, it's all well and good to jump on a premiership window, but I think it's going to be a lot more rewarding. And I to be in the struggle and come out of it, and then to kind of be a successful team after being at the bottom would be, a career highlight for me. So I guess it's those, little grass shoots that you sort of cling on to during 0-5. And I think, if you can, I plan to get to Marvel on the weekend and support. Eddie Ford has been great. Paul Curtis, I know he kicked 1-3. So some small forward energy has been there. Drury kicking his first goal last week, I think, was really fun to watch. That was like a rare highlight against Geelong. So look, there has been some green grass there. It's just, I think it's hard to see. It's hard to see at the moment, and I get that. And I think it comes from a place. North supporters we've been through a lot. There's a lot of discourse on Twitter, and there's a lot of stuff going on. And I think people are very passionate, and people are angry. And like I said before, I know that people should probably channel that energy into some more productive things. But I think the worst fans are indifferent fans. So I know what they're doing is coming from a place of love. And hopefully we turn up with massive support on Sunday to get around Suv, because I know he has dedicated to the team for 7 more years. So that's the hope, Dean. But, you know.
That's what we cling on to, is hope.
Exactly. So. Yeah, that's kind of like the door in Titanic that Kate Winslet is clinging on to. But I can totally see why people are also being Leo in the water and being like, oh, this is not great. This is not great. So, yeah, look, we move on to Hawthorn and we see what happens, I guess.
No, that's it. Siobhan, welcome back. And last week, we can't be too surprised. I think we predicted it was going to be a tough game. I think you might have predicted a 7-8 goal loss. I said 10 goals, but it still hurts. And we have so many issues that it's always the case of, where do you start, Siobhan?
That's a fair point. I think the mentality of a lot of the supporter base at the moment is the season starts this week. Yeah. And that's completely fine. And I understand that sort of commentary. But at the same time, what sort of damage does continuing to lose by 10 goals or remain uncompetitive do to the side? Now, that I'm not a sports psychologist, I wish I was, but I don't know where the belief and where the mood of the group is at the moment to truly go into this week thinking, all right, we're in with a chance, when you're constantly getting beaten up every week. There was no surprise, really, that we lost last week. I think the manner in which we did again is quite concerning. It seems at the moment Harry Sheezel's the one-man band. The part that concerned me last week, Dean, and I looked at the game very objectively each time Geelong scored a goal. I don't think I particularly got too frustrated or anything like that. But the great white hope of this side and what we're all hanging our hats on and what we all strongly believed was that the most complete and dynamic part of the side was the midfield. And at the moment, that midfield is just underperforming to levels that are not helping any other area of the ground. Now, there was a very interesting discussion between David King and Lee Montagne last night on Fox Footy, where they looked at the three players in Wardlaw, Davies Uniac, and Powell that are the clear three players that Clarkson is giving the responsibility of midfield minutes to. So they're number two in the league for centre bounce involvement percentages. So they're the three at the moment that we're looking to win the ball out of there. The worst side in the competition right now for clearance differential, the worst side at the moment for inside 50 differential, the worst side from scores from centre bounce. And then in regards to the way the midfield's performing, we're looking at numbers here that it's quite astounding. So 10th in the comp for clearance differential, 17th for points from clearance, 18th for contested possession, and 14th for pressure coming from particularly those three. So I think going into the game against Hawthorn, there needs to be a bit more rotation through the midfield, or is there a reason why the Clarkson's gone to those three and kind of shouldering them the responsibility to say, all right, it's your midfield now, you're leading it? Or do we start asking questions and say, well, we've been saying this for a while, why is Simkin not being rotated through there? Why is Will Phillips not being able to break into that side? And the next player that spent more time at centre bounces is Charlie Lazaro. I'm a little bit confused at the moment as to maybe why we're not rotating Sheezel through there. I mean, he's dominating so much at halfback, but why don't we get him involved in the game? Because he's red hot at the moment. He knows how to find the ball. That's probably the area of concern. We could speak about how dysfunctional the forward line is, and we can talk about the back line till the cows come home. But I think when you're not winning the ball out of the middle and the area of the ground that we all really thought we actually had cemented in, when the players are underperforming in there, they're not getting the job done. It's really hard to win games of footy. And they need to step up this weekend if we're a chance to win the game. And I think that's probably the message that Clarkson's delivering at the moment. But you never know, really. But that's a huge part of the game we've got to focus on, because that will be the key in winning this week.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point there, Siobhan. And Claire, It seems to me that the midfield is getting bullied, whether they're just inexperienced or not strong enough in the contest. It might be a combination of both, lacking a bit of leadership. I'm staggered that Jai Simpkin isn't spending more time in there. There must be something going on because the high half forward position isn't working there. What do you think about the midfield? I mean, the club made it very clear when Rawlings first came in, we're going to build from the midfield out. And the midfield, it looks good on paper, but it's not performing to the standard. I mean, Siobhan came up with a lot of statistics here that put us at last in a lot of areas or on the bottom four. I mean, that's real concerning, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's there's got to be some logic to the madness in this. And I think Clarkson has come and said, look, I could put Simpkin in and I could get him to run with Neil, or I could expose George Wardlaw to a best and to a Brownlow medalist. And I get that. Like, I do. And I think from Clarkson's point of view, because he is so – he can see the inner workings of what he wants to do, but then you try and tell that to, you know, a supporter of a club that, you know, hasn't even seen, you know, what, 8 wins and or something in, like, 5 years. So I think – there's part of me that I'm like, oh, my God, can you just chuck Hugh Greenwood in, put in Shields, put in Jai Simpkin, and let's win the ball out of the middle. Like, I just, like, let's go experience over the, you know, the young brigade so that we can win the contested ball, so that we can start to sort of, it is incredibly frustrating because we're only seeing the real, we're not even seeing basically, like, it's like coding of a website. Like, you know, you build something going towards something, and I know what he's trying to do and I understand it, but it is hard to watch. It's hard to sort of see. Even LDU, I think, you know, we all got really excited and we all know how much potential this guy has and what he could do. But if he was in a more mature midfield, would he have less pressure on him? You know, he's running at, I think I checked on the weekend, I think his disposal efficiency was down. He still gets plenty of the ball. I think he got 27 touches, but it's what he does with the ball or his hand, like, you know, his hands and his ability to have to kick under pressure constantly. Whereas I think, and, you know, dare I say it, I'm just going to put it out there. Like, I'm glad that the club moved him on. I'm okay with Tarryn Thomas. I'm really glad, but he is a missing key factor. He is the classic, that age group, that class, that poise. We miss that desperately. Could you imagine if he went in? I know we're talking in ifs and buts and things like that, but I just think that North supporters sometimes are like, you know, we should be further apart. We should be doing this. I'm like, you've still got to really think of that list and you've still got to realize, like, LDU, yes, whilst he's been in the system for a while now, he actually missed a whole bunch of games. George Wardlaw, he's in, like, realistically, his kind of first season because he missed out so much footy last year. And Tom Powell is kind of, like, I know, again, he's one of those mids. I think he got drafted in 2020. So it's just one of those things that you've got to constantly remind yourself that, you know, they are such a young midfield group and they are constantly being exposed to big bodies. Like Paddy Cripps, when we played them on Good Friday, I was like, oh, my God, these are boys to men kind of situation. So I get Siobhan and I get you, Dean, 100%. Sometimes I'm like, oh, my God, put Jai in, put Hugh Greenwood in, chuck, you know, Shields. I know that he's got a calf injury at the moment. Just chuck him in for some leadership. But then I'm also sort of like, well, you know, what are the long-term benefits of that as well? But, you know, to be honest, I would do anything to win on the weekend. I would do absolutely anything. And if that means that we go with a more mature midfield, then so be it. I think we need to do it.
Claire and Dean, it's a really interesting topic of conversation, and maybe, Dean, you had it down to something that we could discuss, but I'll go the early crow a little bit here. And it's interesting that you talk about going to mature players and experienced players to potentially try and get a win this weekend. Now, not to sound like a Debbie Downer or trying to, you know, come on here and bash our senior players, but are any of our senior players actually performing to a high standard at the moment?
No.
Or are any of them leading the way to inspire the younger core to say, come with me and let's really get in this game and claw our way back or stay competitive? Because the answer for me at the moment is no. There's some really interesting comments from Ben Mackay this week regarding Essendon senior players and North senior players. And I don't like when players that have left another club comment on the club they've left. in that sort of way. But it did prick my ears in terms of him speaking about the way that the senior players at Essendon conduct themselves on and off the field and the way that our players do. Mm. For him to make that sort of comment suggests to me that maybe our senior players have either been in this sort of environment for too long where they just know maybe there's no coming back once the opposition get a jump on us, or they're not giving everything they've got out there, or that something's off with a lot of our players at the moment, in particular our leaders. And something needs to change, because it can't be left to 19-year-old kids to really drive the team forward. There has to be some senior leaders that are driving the way, and they're just not at the moment. How do we fix that? Do you guys have any idea on that?
No, well, let me ask you a question, the issue. We had four over 28-year-olds on a week, and I asked this the other day to the boys, Darcy Tucker, Luke McDonald, Aiden Corr, and Hugh Greenwood. Would they get a game at any other club?
No, and I think that's a good measuring stick to see where we're at. And the senior players at the moment are really letting this young core down. And they've got to find a way to turn their form around and this season around for them, because otherwise, where are we going? So, there's a lot of work to be done with those lads in particular.
Yeah, I agree with you, Siobhan. I think it's been incredibly – I've been a Luke McDonald defender since day dot. Like, I honestly am like, no, look, he brings a different element. Like, I literally would defend him to the death, but I have been severely disappointed with his output and his leadership skill. Like, he doesn't have it. Like, I think – I don't know about Jai, and I don't know. I think they're lovely human beings. I think they're probably really great. Would I get a beer with them? Would I want to hang out with them? Do I think that they take young men under their wing and they want them to do well as human beings? Absolutely, I do. But do I think that they, Jai's now playing as a high half forward, so it's not exactly like, an inspiring captain, in the middle of the ground, or like, and Luke's playing like a classic back pocket, like, sort of like medium defender. Like, they're not inspiring positions, are they? Like, when all of our leadership is coming from a 19-year-old kid or Harry Sheezel, then it's just sort of like, yeah, it's a real weird, weird era for the club at the moment in terms of leadership. And you can just tell, like, again, Aiden Corr, he just seems like he's, he could be playing that sort of footy in bloody NFL league. Like, he just is in, like, is he there for a paycheck? Like, what's going on there? I do think Hugh Greenwood plays with a huge heart. He really tries to get the most out of his body. Like, he definitely does. But I also think that the fact he's, like, in and out of the side and he plays a lot of VFL, it's hard for, what a wonderful guy. But you're not, like, certainly going to war for him, are you? Like, I know that's, like, they're just not an inspiring group of men that you would be like, okay, boys, don't worry, I'll put you on my back. We're two goals down, we've got 10 minutes left, we can make this work. And I think that, I don't know, even like, getting, Dill Stevens and Fisher, and I'm sure they're nice guys, but it's almost like, can we draft someone with a bit of cunt in them? Can we get, someone who wants to win, someone who's coming from a winning club with a winning mentality, who knows what culturally this looks like and how to change it? And so that would be my number one goal, like, trying to get someone in. And I know, obviously we're still trying to build that young midfield, but it would be about looking at trying to get people from different clubs that have come from a winning culture and a winning mentality, and what does that look like in terms of leadership style, and how can we put that in our club? Because I agree with you, Siobhan, it's pretty grim out there, I'm not gonna lie.
Well, we've got Daniel Howe, so you can't question the leadership too much when you get quality players like Daniel Howe. Liam Shields, he's a good role player, but and he tries as a leader. There's no doubt about that. But he's only one player, and he's definitely at the back end of his career. Or he wasn't deemed good enough to get a game for Hawthorn 2 years ago, who are in a similar position to us. They delisted him effectively, and retired him. But leadership is a big concern at the moment. And Siobhan, we keep going back to this, but why don't coaches just vote the leadership, like a captain, vice captain? It seems to be the players get a vote in who's in a leadership group, and they seem to vote Luke McDonald because he's a good bloke.
Yeah, I mean, we've spoken about this a bit, and it is something that I think going forward should be considered by the club. But the other side of the coin is I just don't think we've fostered and developed enough leaders. I don't think that employing Harry Sheasel as a captain of this footy club at 19 would do him any favours. No. We've seen in the past, and I'm not comparing us to where Melbourne were all those years ago, but look what happened to Jack Trengove. You don't want to put that sort of pressure on a young kid. I think at the moment he's in the leadership group and he's doing a great job with that aspect of it. But a lot of our young leaders have been down on form this year. I mean, Bailey Scott's probably another conversation to have for another day, but his form this year has dropped off. I do still feel he's being played out of position. He's another young leader in the side. Larky needs help. We don't have... I mean, Sellers played on the weekend, but he didn't exactly light the world on fire, but it was his first game and he'll keep getting better as time goes on. But established help for Larky down there isn't there at the moment, and opposition defenders are mauling him, and that's just how it's going to be. He was an All-Australian last year. Maybe he flew under the radar a bit for some time because opposition defenders might not have realised how damn good he is. He'll play his 100th game this weekend and deserves all the plaudits that he's getting, but he needs help down there, and he's a leader of the club at the moment that probably just needs to focus on getting a kick himself. And the real question I have, and we'll find this out on the weekend, I think this is going to be the huge litmus test for this group, is do they play for each other or are they playing for themselves a little bit at the moment? That'll be found out on Sunday, because Harry Sheasel said this today, whichever team wants it the most out on the ground will win the game. And do they play as a united team to get the job done on the weekend? That's the big question. And that'll come down to leadership on the field, Dean and Claire. I think that's a real big thing that will hopefully give us that real confidence boost on the weekend.
Definitely.
You're so right, though. Like, you know, someone like Nick Larky should just be enjoying his 100th game, not worrying about having to be in the leadership of the group of the club. Like, it's almost like it's that regenerative cycle of all the trades that we sort of had, or all the kind of picks that didn't come on, or, you know, things have happened. But so basically we're in a really weird situation where we've got, you know, 26-year-olds being club captains and not having played 100 games. Do you know what I mean? Like, I know Jai's had a few more than that, but, like, it's just that expectation put on young players as opposed to, you know, and I know this is ages ago, but, like, a Luke Hodge types and you know, a Darcy Moore, and you think about club captains of really successful clubs and what they look like and what leadership looks on field, and, like, you know, a Stephen May character, or, you know, you think about those type of leaders that are just, they don't have to rely on 19-year-old kids to step up and, you know, speak for their club. Or, yeah, I don't know. I would love the rare, like, the kind of out of the box thing that I would love to see. And I think I would like to see some more continuity with his form and with his football, but I can see Charlie Comden definitely being in the leadership group. There's something about him. Yeah, there's just something about him. I feel like he's got a bit of, like, I think if anyone, because of the resilience that he's had to show through his journey with AFL and what he's had to go through, I think there's a bit of cunt in him. Like, I think he's just like, now, fuck this. I've made it. I've come this far. You know, I want to do well. I want to win. Like, I'm here for that. And I think you're right, Siobhan, that mentality, that kind of loser mentality is like, oh, okay, all right, we roll into the next game. Like, we lost another game, you know, such is life. I'm like, I want you to, like, be angry. I want you to be like, okay, well, what could have we done more?
What, like, what changed?
Yeah. I want someone to grab someone in the middle of the oval and be like, all right, well, you should have stood at that man in the center bounce. You fucked up, but let's go again. Like, I want them. I just, yeah, I think the same passion that we feel sometimes, and I get it, when the siren goes, you shake hands and, like, you know, you're probably going for a surf or something with that guy the next day, but I want you to care more. I almost need you to care more, because it's hard for us to care if you don't care. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Body language is a big thing. And, yeah, it seems like, and like you said, they probably just don't have that unsociable sort of side of football at the moment. They seem to be quite content with almost getting floggings. Even Alistair Clarkson, while we're a young group, you know, we're still learning. We've got to get more exposure to these players. Look, this wasn't him at Hawthorn in their peak years. No. They were very unsociable. You know, yeah. Do you remember that game North Melbourne versus Hawthorn where Jordan Lewis got suspended for 6 weeks?
Yes, because Todd got he put his hand, his fist into Todd Goldstein for, that's what I'm like. Is Clarko just understanding and read? This is the thing, like, because we've got to admit he's a premiership winning coach. He's won 3. I'd like to believe he knows what he's doing. So it's just like, look, guys, it's going to be another painful year. And then it might be another painful year after that. And maybe we can look at topping up our playing list. And then maybe we can, you know, build more of a spine by trading and things like that. So, I mean, it could be Clarko just playing the long game and us just sitting here incredibly frustrated, copping it week after week. But I think Siobhan's right. I would love to see so much more leadership this week, because I think that's the difference. That'll be the difference between Hawks and us. You look at the lists side by side and you draw the comparisons, and I don't think either list is that much better than the other. Like, no. Realistically, you know, it's a 3-goal margin either way, I think. No one's that better.
On paper, I mean, we have the better midfield on paper. Yeah. And I certainly think that their forward line isn't as threatening as some of the opposition that we've played against, and that's clearly our weakest area. So when you're not contending with some real quality key forwards up there, it makes it a bit easier. I think Hawthorn's biggest strong point is probably their back line.
Yeah.
But in saying that, I don't think Sicily's in great form at the moment. I think they're a little bit down on confidence. And that's probably the area of the ground at the moment that is a little bit dysfunctional in the way that we're performing up there. But maybe with Zerha back, or I'm not sure how we fix the forward line at the moment, but I think that's the area of the ground where we could probably kick out a winning score through our mids and restrict them. I'm just hoping that there's not a big score that Hawthorn kicks with Mitch Lewis out. I think we are very evenly matched in many ways.
Yeah.
To suit our needs, I guess.
100%. And that's why I do genuinely think it couldn't be, like, I'd be crushed if it was over a margin more than like 25. I'd be like, this is just not good, guys. This is even worse than getting belted by 10 goals to a decent team. But yeah, you're right. I would actually, here's my thing about Sicily. I quite like him because he does play on the edge and he cares so much. So I actually like that about him. But we have a way, North Melbourne has a way of playing these type of players into form. Like, you think about Hipwood. Hipwood before he played us over in Gather Round, you know, he couldn't buy a goal and then he comes out. So I'm worried about Sicily. And here is where I'd love to see someone like Cam Zerha go in and almost play that agitator role against Sicily and negate his influence of the halfback. Because we know he's a good player. We know he does a lot of their transition play. We know how potent he can be with his you know, kicking skills. And I just think Zerha at the moment, I don't know about you guys, but I just don't think I'm getting bang for buck with that boy. And I would love to see him play kind of a different role on Sicily. I'd like to see that match up because I don't know. I don't know how you guys are feeling about Zerha at the moment, and I'm a Zerha stan, but I'm just not getting, you know, if he rolls up at the end of this year and he wants, you know, an 800K contract, I'm kind of going to be like, for what, bro? What are you doing? You know? And I don't want to give him that just because we've got no one else. You know what I mean? I don't want us to fold just because we're like, oh, well, we don't have this type of player, or we don't have this age group at our club. So I don't know. How do you, I guess my question to you guys, even though Dean, this is your podcast, how are you feeling about, because I mean, he's named in the team. I'd assume that he comes in. What do you think, what role do you think Zerha can play for us this week?
Siobhan, you could answer that if you want.
Yeah, I'll touch on it very briefly. I mean, Drury was good. Drury was really good. Really? I thought he worked hard, kicked a couple of goals. His pressure was good. I thought he was excellent on the day. There's no way that Eddie Ford loses his spot in the side. He's probably the one player that we can all speak about tonight and be really, really impressed with. Not just his game, but his career trajectory at the moment. Should never start as a sub again. I think he's hit a new level at the moment, and they're very similar players. I don't see us dropping Dersma. I think Dersma's output hasn't been outstanding, but the more games we get into him, I think the better he will get as time goes on. And in a game like this where he's not playing against really good quality opposition and where we might be involved in the game and not you know, the game's over by quarter time, I do feel like this is a game where Dersma might become more involved and maybe show a bit more of why we picked him so early in the draft. So if you're looking at players that Zerha, I honestly don't feel like if he decided that his time at North Melbourne was over, that we would really struggle without him. Yes, he's a good player, he's a good leader, he's in the right age bracket, but some of the names I just mentioned there, I think, would still fill that role nicely. Yeah. I think the half forward position is a position on the ground that we're really struggling for. Yeah. And if your heart's not 110% in it, and again, I think this is a game where we'll know where Zerha's at a little bit, because if he's not 110% invested in getting this club a win on the weekend, then we probably know where things are at with him at the moment. I don't think he's in a great vein of form, but this is his time to turn things around. And he has the ability. And I really think that we should be putting him through the midfield more as well.
I agree.
I spoke about it a bit earlier in the show about the way our midfield's performing at the moment. A good opportunity to change that mix would be to throw Zerha in there, throw his weight around. He's a big boy, not afraid of contact. Let's get him in there in spurts to really change the dynamic and get the ball going forward.
Yeah, love. I actually love him going through the middle. I think that's a wonderful idea. I think that would be just beefs it up a bit, doesn't it? And it shows intent. I think, especially A, it's a winnable game, like it really is, and B, it's his best mate's 100th game. Like, come on, mate. Like, we're ready for the show. Like, I'm well and truly ready for the Zerha show. I've bought tickets. I'll be there at Marvel. I'll be crying. I'll be laughing. I'll be singing. But I want to see a bit of fireworks, because he has a bit of cunt in him. Sorry, I keep on using that word, and I know it's not the most polite word, but I feel like he's got a bit of mongrel in him. He's got a bit of fuck off energy, and I think we actually need that. We need a bit of, and I dare say that bloody Essendon edge. I think that's bullshit, but like we need a bit of hostility about us. I'm like, we're not laying down, and you need someone to fly the flag. And that's why, you know, on Larky against Carlton, when he got a bit angry and, you know, he showed that, it's like, yeah, I don't mind you showing that. I'm actually happy to give a 50-meter penalty away if you fly the flag and show that you care, because that's what supporters kind of cling to. So I agree with you, Siobhan. I think him rotating to the middle would be an amazing idea. But, Dean, do you think he could play a role on Sicily, or how do you feel about that?
I think Sicily will play on him. He's probably the second. We've got Tyler Sellers. I mean, he might be the bit of a surprise pack at Tyler Sellers, because they'll probably put more energy into Zerha and Larky rather than Tyler Sellers. He might sneak up for 3 or 4 goals this week. He's definitely got the potential. Don't worry about his first game. That's not who he is. And, tough initiation over in Geelong. Just looking at Cameron Zerha, he's attended 9 centre bounces in 4 games this year, and most of them were against GWS in round 1. So he hasn't been in much. And Harry Shears has only attended 1 centre bounce this year as well, after being talked about in the preseason that he might get a bit more of a run there. So, yeah, look, I haven't been overwhelmed. Oh, not overwhelmed, but, I guess been too impressed with Zerha so far this year. I mean, compared to a couple of years ago where we were talking him up like Jordan Dugowie, the player comparison there, Jordan Dugowie has just, gone leaps and bounds above him. And it'll be interesting now. There was talk that he was offered a 5-year deal, but I'm not too sure what's happened there. That was a couple of weeks ago. So, yeah, but he's probably a player we can't afford to lose either, because we can't just keep getting draft picks and kids all the time. Eventually, that'll catch up with you. So, we'll see how we go. We'll move forward anyway. We'll go to Nick Larkey's 100th game now. He had a big interview the other day talking about any player can go to a top 4 team and win a premiership, but it wouldn't mean as much if he stayed here and won a premiership with us being on the bottom. Sort of almost a half dig at Zerha there, I think, sort of saying, well, maybe you should re-sign before considering other options. But, Siobhan, what has been in his 100th game? Any major highlights for him, for you personally?
Oh, I could talk about him for ages. I think the part about Nick Larkey that I think I'm so in awe of is that he was selected at pick 73. So, in his own words, he came into the club with basically a free pass. There wasn't a whole heap of expectation on his shoulders, but I think he's been forever grateful that we gave him that opportunity, and boy, has he repaid the faith. He's a humble kind of character. I think he's a great leader. He works for his teammates. He speaks really well. In terms of major highlights, I think when he kicked the 10 against West Coast. I think it was six against West Coast, and that was round one last year. I think that spoke volumes about the type of person he is in that game, or the type of player he is, in that he hasn't had a lot of things given to him. The service that he gets isn't great. He doesn't have a lot of support down there, but he tries his guts out every week. And that game was really cool to see, because, yes, we were playing as another side that was really struggling, and it wasn't a pretty game to watch, but he was the difference with six goals, and you could see what it meant to him when he kicked that goal, and Hugh Greenwood got around him. So that's probably a little highlight there. But I think just the way he is a dead eye in front of goal too is probably another little favorite thing of mine about Nick Larkey, is that it's very rare he lets you down. And if I had someone in the AFL, not just at North Melbourne, to kick for my life, I'd probably pick Nick Larkey, because he never really wastes an opportunity. I think his show of faith in our footy club by signing for the long term as well just shows what type of person and player he is. And we're super lucky to have him, and he deserves every kind of plaudit that comes his way this week. And hopefully it's another 100, 150 games with us and there's a premiership in there, because if anyone deserves to win one and being in this club for such hard times, it's him. From, you know, a no possession game in his first game to an All-Australian blazer last year, he's a bloody superstar, and we're very lucky to have him.
No, definitely. Very well said there. Now, Claire, I want to be mindful of your time, so I might just get your highlights of Nick Larkey and what, 201 goals, 72 behinds in his career. So it shows how accurate he is. He's very reliable. He's a very reliable set shot. Kicked 9 goals against Gold Coast in round 24 last year, or round 23, whatever it's called, because of the gather round and all that bullshit. But, yeah, if you give him the opportunities like we did last year, move the ball quick, this is what he's capable of. We just don't give him enough of that, like Siobhan said. I mean, but, yeah, what have been your highlights throughout 100 games?
Yeah, the big serve. I mean, hard not to love. I was just thinking back on, and I know it's probably – it's been on Twitter a bit this week, so probably that's why it's on the front of my mind. But the game against Gold Coast where he kicked 9, you know, and people forget – you know, it's all the Harley Reid Cup and that sort of thing. And I know people are still in their different types of how they feel about that. But I was really jubilant after that game. I was on cloud 9. It was the game that also saw that Larkey secured the AA, you know, the Blazer. So that to me kind of outweighed, you know, and people will talk about Harley Reid. And I can't wait to watch his journey. I'm so excited for him. I'm so happy that he gets to be at West Coast. But I think that game was really, really special, because I think, you know, him kicking 70 goals for the season with probably the worst delivery, you know, and he doesn't get the same free kicks that key forwards like Charlie Kerner gets. He really earns every single one of them. So, and, you know, his classic sort of hair tugging, you know, just before he goes to goal, he does that quick little hair tuck. And I remember even his 2019, he got the rising star because he kicked 5 against St Kilda at bloody Blundstone Arena. So, I don't know. He's been a spark of joy, hasn't he? I remember he kicking 7 on Wagering. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah, that was the COVID game, wasn't it?
Yeah. That was huge. I thought, you know, and I guess another thing what I considered was also the fact that, you know, I was gutted that when Ben Brown left, I was so gutted. I really love him and I still watch him. But I was also like, there was a part of me like, Nick Larkey's going to step up here. The same way that that Sherry's going to step up after Goldstein, is almost some of these players need to be, you know, taken out of the shadows of another key forward or another key ruck to really flourish. And so I think whilst it was really great that Larkey had those crossover with Ben Brown and that he got to learn, I think he really enjoys being the number one key forward and he really takes that on. So you're right, Siobhan, if anyone deserves a premiership and if anyone has gone through some really hard yards at the North Melbourne Football Club, it's definitely Nick Larkey. And I think I hope that so many supporters get to, I mean, 4 p.m. is not the greatest time slot in the world, is it? But 4 p.m. on Marvel, if they can, to go watch him, because the faith that he's shown, he's kind of like akin to a supporter. You know, he seems like the type of guy that would be sitting up in the back, you know, having a beer and naming old players like Anthony Steeves. Like he seems like if he didn't play for us, he'd actually also go for North as well, which I love. Like I love that about him. So I love his passion. I love his dedication to the club. And I'm really, really fingers and, you know, toes crossed for a win on the weekend because he deserves it. He deserves to sort of celebrate that milestone. And it'd be nice to see, you know, players like McKercher and Dersma and players like that get into the winning circle and have a bit of a Gatorade shower. I know Eddie Ford had to wait all until like literally round 23 last year to get into a Gatorade shower. So fingers and toes crossed for this weekend. But thanks for having me on and thanks again for, you know, it's nice to find such passionate supporters who go for North because sometimes it feels like, you know, you're in a bit of a vacuum and you're the only one sitting here watching yourself getting belted by 10 goals. So it's always nice to kind of join you guys and have a bit of a chat and talk about the highlights. And are you guys, can you guys make the weekend or have you got work? What's your plans?
I have work, so I'll be pushing it to make it, but I'll see how I go if I finish early enough. What about you, Siobhan?
I'll be there. Cheering the boys on, and I'll be very loud this week. And it's going to be a bit of a strange feeling going to the game with a real expectation for a win or a really solid performance.
So I know.
We'll see how we live up to that because I think all the pressure's on us this week and, yeah, it's going to be a bit of a weird feeling.
I sat there watching the Fremantle game. I'm like, we are so on. We were so good. And then, like, halfway into the third quarter, I was like, all right, the depression is back. Amazing. Love this for me. Love that for everyone. But, yeah, no, look, Dean, hopefully I see you, Siobhan, and we can all sort of just, you know, hopefully enjoy. I genuinely cannot wait to sing the song. I'm going to be, like, if we get to sing the song, I'm just going to be, like, the last one that leaves. The sprinklers are going to be on at Marvel Stadium, and I still won't go. But thanks for having me on, Dean, and I look forward to seeing you at the game this week.
No worries, Claire. Much appreciated that you came on. I know you're in New Zealand on holiday at the moment, so I really appreciate you taking the time. And I'll leave you to enjoy the rest of your evening over there. I'm sure it's nice and cool, but we'll definitely
I'll be back soon. For the game. I'm literally touching down, and like that, take me to Marvel Stadium. Take me to Marvel. I want to see my boys. All right, thanks, Dean. Bye.
Thanks, Claire. All right, well, we'll keep going, Siobhan. The language might not be as colourful now, but, we'll keep going. we'll go to team changes. Now, we've only put the three in. Cameron Zerha's an automatic selection. He's been named in the 18. And Jackson Archer and Will Phillips come into the team. With the changes, I don't think we could do much else. I don't think there's much else in the reserves. I know the reserves won last week, but it was mainly the VFL listed players that did the job, like Sam Lowson, Watkins as well. Will Phillips was good. He's obviously been named in the 23. Jackson Archer only had the 6 touches, but we know he's not a possession sort of player. Are you happy with that?
I thought that they were some good ins. Obviously, we won't find out the total outcome until tomorrow, but I wouldn't be surprised if Sellers did go out for Zerha. I know that's harsh, and I do personally think that he needs time, and this might be a good game for him to have his second crack at AFL level. Look, Geelong's defence is not an easy one to crack, so there's no shame in his performance because it's not easy out there at the moment, especially with the service we're giving our forwards. So I do personally think, though, that he'll probably go out for Zerha. And I think they should bring in Will Phillips this week, Dean. If it's not now, then when is it going to be? I thought Lazaro was okay, but if one of those players that are on the bench goes out, I'd probably say it would be Lazaro. And good to see McKercher get up because it was a little bit frightening there. Looked like he may have done some damage to his ribs, but looks good, and I think he's right to play. When is the time to bring in Jackson Archer? It's an interesting question because when you look at the players that are on the interchange, I don't see anyone else really going out. But Archer's an interesting proposition because I think he'd be handy to play on a small forward. So
Ginnivan, maybe?
Yeah. We still struggle with the the opposition smalls, don't we? I think Steve will have a fair day out on the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you'll, like you said, I couldn't see anyone really coming out of that team, out of the interchange bench that he'll come in for. I think they've got their back seven, Common, Core, McDonald, Fisher, Nguyen, Bailey, Scott. Actually, Zach Fisher, would it be time for maybe pushing him in a forward six, give a bit more pace in that forward line as a small forward?
Funny you mentioned that, Dean, because I was actually going to bring that up.
Okay.
Now, a lot of supporters, I think, are a bit frustrated with Zach Fisher, but I ultimately think his best position is still as a small forward. He gets the pill and he runs the ball out of there, but his disposal at times can be a bit more than questionable, and his ability to defend one-on-one is probably non-existent at the moment. And I still think Curtis is serious. He's a really good footballer, Dean, but would be nice to maybe have another small down there. And I do think our options for halfbacks at the moment is pretty well stocked. Josh Goder, I think, would be playing if he was available. Yeah. But we do have enough players down there, and I think Fisher's real talent is probably being a bit wasted down there. So I would like to see Clarkson move some magnets around. I think it needs to happen. I still don't know why Bailey Scott's in the back line. I could talk about that all day. I really feel like he needs to move back onto a wing or that sort of kick inside 50 for us. I think there's a lot of players at the moment that if we move the magnets around, I think we can catch teams off guard, and we can also maybe play them into a little bit of form. There's some real opportunity there to do that on the weekend, and I'm sure we'll talk a bit more about the game against the Hawks, but if we're ever going to pull out North Ball, I feel like this is the week to do it. I think against Frio, that quarter and a half that we played was so electric, and against a side like Hawthorn, if we can play that way for even two quarters and then pull the reins back a bit and play a bit more defensive, I don't think that they have the strength and capability to come back at us and kick nine in a row like Frio did. So I really feel like this weekend's a real opportunity to showcase that game style that seems to have gone missing. I think we're playing a different brand of footy to not get completely cut open against the good sides, but against a side like Hawthorn, I think now's the time to pull the trigger on that, and maybe that means that Fisher stays a half back and runs that ball out of there like we saw him do at the start of the year. But I think it's an opportunity to get some players more involved in the game and showcase their speed and talent.
Yeah, I think he's getting asked to do a little bit too much in our back line. If he's got better defenders around him, I think he'd be a lot better player. He needs a good back five, and then he could be that rebound defender that he has shown at Carlton even last year for a month when he had Wiedering, Mitch McGovern around him, and they were intercepting, then he could get the overlap happening quite quick. Because he is quite a skillful player, but at the moment I'd like to see him as a forward. Just as a small forward, he's played some really good football at Carlton doing that. He's won a couple of games doing that. So, maybe that this week could be the opportunity against a bit of a weaker opposition. Now, I'll look at the comparison of these two teams, and we are averaging more possessions a game, more tackles, more points. Disposal efficiency is about the same. They're better at intercepts and outside a half against Geelong and another half against Collingwood. They've been just as bad as us, really, Siobhan. I mean, we have to be a chance this week, don't we?
Dean, we have to play like it's a grand final. And I know that's extremely dramatic. And every time I say that, I can hear people laughing. I'm fully aware that it's second last versus last, and both teams haven't won a game, and it's not exactly going to be the game that you'd show a tape to for your overseas friends of the brand of AFL footy. I don't think that's going to happen. But for where we're at, the way that the rest of the season will pan out, this is bloody huge. And I don't know if you agree with me, but if we lose to Hawthorn comprehensively, or we don't show up from the first bounce and give it a real red hot crack, I really fear for the way the rest of the year is going to pan out. That might be dramatic, but I don't know when the next win is going to be. This is the golden opportunity. There's a lot of different by-play products in this game as well. I think we all know Clarkson and Mitchell's history. I don't think these two sides like each other very much, to be really honest with you. I think Hawthorn won a rebound from last week, and I damn well hope we won a rebound from last week. And I hope the players want to play for Nick Larkey. Hope they want to play for us supporters that have been through a lot, because I don't want to go on another 20-game losing streak, Dean. And I think if we can't get the job done this week, a few heads are going to drop and there's going to be a lot of pain to come. We need a bit of nourishment. I sound like a David Noble over here, but we need a little bit of nourishment. We need a little bit of, okay, we are on the right track. We do have some really talented players and a game plan that will stack up against sides. Maybe not at the top of the ladder, but we can win games of footy. But I just worry about the belief factor in this side. If it gets, it's a close game or things don't go our way, who and what is going to be the tipping point to get us back in the game? I think this game will reveal a lot about where we're at, where some of our players are at, where our leadership's at, where the game plan's at. If there's going to be a lot to discuss next week, because I think this is a really big game. But we need to beat sides that are around us on the ladder. And I'll tell you what, Dean, I don't want to be the only side in the AFL without a win.
Yeah, it's bad enough now. So yeah, if it's like that on Sunday, then it's we could easily be 0-13, 0-14, and you know, if there's ever going to be a team that doesn't win a game during the season, it probably would be us. So yeah, no, there's a bit of pressure, I guess, on this week. And I think we should win, but my problem is how mentally fragile this group is when the heat is on. And that's where the pessimism kicks in, I guess. It seems when teams get on a run, we fight like a deck of cards. And if we can have some sort of belief, which is hard when you have one game out of your last 26, then we will win this game. I'm confident we can win because Hawthorn are pretty shit. But it's just the real lack of belief that worries me within this group, Sean.
That's a fair point. That's a fair point. Yeah. And on paper, we should be winning the game. Like I mentioned before, our midfield probably stacks up or is better. In statistically speaking, they are at the moment too. I don't see a Mackay or a Kerner or a Cameron or a Hawkins or we're in that forward half there for Hawthorn. And I think that the forward line can score enough goals against their defence to win the game. It's a huge moment in the season for us. And there's going to be expectation for the first time in a long time too. And it'll be interesting to see how the group handles that. I don't think we're favourites, but I think clearly either I'm fully delusional and we're all fully delusional, but we should be going to the game expecting to win. And that hasn't happened for a long time. So footy, I think, in my views, a lot of the time played above the shoulders. And this is the first time, I think, in a while these players have that expectation put on them to say, all right, well, you need to get out there and perform today. And if you don't, there's going to be serious heat coming your way. And to be fair, there hasn't been a lot spoken about this group in the media. We'd be lucky to get 16 seconds on radio. But if we lose this week, if we win this week, I expect there to be some media commentary. And that's something this group's got to learn to handle as well.
Mm. Yeah, and I think, like you mentioned it, that there is a bit of heat between the coaches. I've got no doubt there's a little bit of a personal issue between those two, and it's still there. I mean, they say the right things in front of the media and so forth, but I don't think Alistair Clarkson was too pleased with how it was all handled at the end, and I'm sure he's got a little bit of a personal agenda and wants to get this one over his old mate Sam Mitchell. But look, we'll see how we go. In saying all that, what's your final prediction?
I think we can win the game, Dean. I truly believe we can win the game. I actually think it'll be a quite close game, and it'll tell us a lot about the group if we can win in a tight, close situation, like I do think it'll unfold to be. I have us winning by about 8 points, and I think that we'll find whatever it is in this group that's going to drive us home and we'll get the win in the end. And I think Larkey will star in his 100th game as well, just for the hell of it. So I have us winning the game, and I have a feeling that Marvel Stadium's roof will erupt off. We're small, but we're mighty. And, I mean, I haven't seen us win a game since the game against West Coast in round one last year. It's been a year and a half. And, by God, do our supporters deserve to cheer and sing the song. So, I think it'll happen on Sunday for us, Dean. What about you?
Yeah, I think, three or four goals. I think I'm confident we can win because I think this is the week where we play the North ball and we play without fear. This is the perfect time to do it against an opposition that doesn't put too much heat on, on putting on pressure. But, and I think, we're playing at our home deck as opposed to, narrow grounds the last couple of weeks, which hasn't suited us at all. So, hopefully our skills can be a bit better. And Hawthorn will punish you as much as like a Geelong, and who are highly skilled, highly experienced. So, I think there's a little bit of room to make the odd mistake, and you can take the game on because you're probably not going to get as punished as much. And looking at the Hawthorn team, I wouldn't even know who half these players are, to be honest with you. So, I mean, it's a real opportunity to bounce back this week. And like you said, if we lose quite comfortably, then there's going to be supporters raiding the ground. What can you say? You can't afford to keep losing. We can't afford to lose to poor teams, I should say. But we'll have to wait and see. Siobhan, that's all I got for you. Did you want anything else before I let you go?
No, just I think what you mentioned there was a great point. I think some of our skills and turnovers can really let us down at times, but against the Hawks, I agree that I don't think they'll really put you to the sword. So it is a great opportunity to play North ball and really showcase what we've got. It's an exciting opportunity. Get down to Marvel Stadium because, the scarves will be flapping out the windows and there'll be lots of lost voices the following day if we can get up and win. And I really feel like it's a great opportunity. So go Roos and fingers crossed.
Yeah, it's almost a little bit sad that we'll get that excited over a win against the second bottom team, but that's where we're at the moment. We'll take anything at the moment. We'll take even the reserves last week, that was an unbelievable win. They won by a point, having 16 scoring shots to 30 against a decent opposition. So I'll take that this week, to be honest with you. But we'll take anything, really. Any win will do us really well. Siobhan, thanks so much for coming on. Thank you very much to Claire as well. The language probably dropped a bit when she left, but nothing wrong with that. She was showing a lot of passion. Siobhan, I'm sure I'll chat to you next week. Hopefully we can have a bit more positivity next week and, talk about a win.
Hopefully, Dean, we all deserve it. Go Roos.
So thank you very much to those lovely ladies for coming on once again. And thank you very much to all you lovely listeners for all the likes, retweets and comments you all put out for the show. It's much appreciated. I couldn't do this podcast without your support. If you can tell a friend as well, that would be much appreciated. Anyways, that's it for tonight. So I'll be back probably either Monday or Tuesday. It just depends on my schedule. I'm a very busy individual at the moment. I've always got something on. It's even hard to do just the two podcasts during the week. And I'm not looking for sympathy or anything like that. I'm just saying that it's pretty hard to get a couple of podcasts out per week. So apologies. I did say at the start of the year that I was going to try and get you listeners involved and do, voicemail shows and all that, but I really don't have time to do any of that. So unfortunately at the moment, but when I do, I'll try and get you lovely listeners more involved with the episode. Anyways, try and get down to the game on Sunday. It's an all-important clash. Like Siobhan said, it's almost a grand final for us. If we can get a win, geez, how good would that be? I don't care how we get it. If we got a win against Hawthorn, that would be bliss. And, it would set ourselves up for a good week next week. And if anyone deserves it, it's the North Melbourne supporters. We've been so loyal to this football club. The true Shimbota supporters have been so loyal. We deserve something. Anyways, I'm fired up. I hope you listeners are fired up. Get down to the game on Sunday. I know it's a bad time, but if you can, please do. So that's it for tonight. Bye for now, and go Roos.